pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. ¡Le dio el poste! ¡No! ¡Falló! ¡Oh! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡Los Eagles se van con la victoria! ¡Ay, papá! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡Chicago! ¡Chicago! ¡Nos vamos para New Orleans! ¡Filadelfia gana el partido! ¡Le dio al poste!
Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels. How's it rolling?
I'm rolling great. Your audio stinks, so hopefully people can hear this.
Yeah, start the podcast with a complaint.
You're just too stubborn to bring your mic. Pretend it's like, a war could break out, and it's your, like, AR-17 or something. Bring your mic wherever you go until we do one podcast a week, and it's always Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, and it's usually, like, Monday or Tuesday. So why don't you just bring your mic to work until... we're bringing home from work until we do the podcast, and then the rest of the week you don't need to bring it.
Yeah, no, I should probably just buy a second mic,
or buy a second mic.
Yeah, that would be the solution.
Yeah, go in to your boss, ask for a raise, say I need to do more podcasts, and I need $45 more.
So let's talk about that wild card weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's buzzing about the Seahawks Cowboys game. People can't get enough of it.
Yeah, well, I think you're trying to be sarcastic, but that was a great game, actually.
People are talking about it, but nobody's talking about it anymore. Ooh, my wife is 2 for 2 on yelling loudly in the back of my podcast.
By the way, great job by Houston. You know, we were all talking about how this year, for the first time in forever, that early game on Saturday, that the Houston-Cincinnati-Tennessee traditional game is actually going to be halfway decent.
And then it was worse than any of those games. Yeah. It was more meaningful.
Yeah, Houston found a way to make it bad, even with Deshaun Watson. But yeah, but let's jump to the game that everyone has been talking about the most, obviously. The weekend ended in a Vikings-esque loss between two teams that I despise equally. And I was actually talking to people. People were shocked that I was rooting for the Bears. Everybody thought I should be rooting for the Eagles.
But you hate the Packers more than the Bears.
Well, I've never really hated the Bears as a divisional rival. And I just hated the Eagles for the way their fans acted last year. And how unworthy they were to be in the playoffs in the first place.
Yeah.
And then the Bears suffered not just a loss, not just a heartbreaking loss, but I would say it's a Vikings-esque loss. And we decided that we needed to have a heartbroken fan on the podcast. So joining us for the first time, not our usual Bears guest, but a special guest, Bears diehard fan Josh Cantor. So Josh, welcome to 32 Fans.
Hello, guys. For long-time listener, first-time caller, as they would say on the radio.
So far, you're crushing it.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate letting me come on and vent a little bit. I'm just going to give you my thoughts on this and this whole thing. There was a debate, I think, a while ago about what's worse, your team stinking or your team being good, but sort of just falling short every time. Sort of like Jets versus Vikings, right? Jets always suck, or recently, and Vikings always come close. And let me tell you something, being close and then almost getting there and then losing at the last whatever, it's way worse. It's, you know, it's awful. It's an awful feeling. And as you are aware, because I live in Israel, I had to watch the game like very late at night. So I'm staying up till 2-3 in the morning, which I guess for some of you guys, that's normal. But for normal people, that's not. And, you know, that makes it especially hard to swallow to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the morning and have to watch that. And my last thought on this is I was telling my family today that I was yelling at my dad, like, why'd you make me into sports? I really wish, like, my younger brother couldn't care less about sports. And I'm like, why couldn't I be more like my other brother and not care about sports? And, you know, mm-hmm. It's just mostly heartbreak, you know, sports is mostly heartbreak and it's sad.
Yeah. You've won like 6 titles as a Bulls fan.
Okay. You know, that wore off, you know, that was like 25 years ago. Enough. I'm not a Cubs fan. I'm a White Sox fan. The Bulls won many years ago. Enough with that, people are saying to me, and it doesn't make it any better.
All right. So I want to jump sort of your live reaction play by play. So with about 5 minutes to go, the Bears up 15-10. Actually, let's go back a second. The Bears missed that 2-point conversion after they score to take the lead. So instead of 17-10 or 15-10, at that moment, when they missed that 2-point conversion, what's your feeling? Are you like, oh God, now we're going to lose, or you still feel pretty good?
Yeah, I mean, I know Nick Foles, as they say, he's got God on his side. So I definitely felt that Nick Foles was going to come down, score a touchdown. There was no doubt in my mind. It was no doubt in my mind. Guys like Alshon Jeffrey, former Bears player, was gonna screw us. I obviously thought that was not gonna be good. They had Khalil Mack in there for that 2-point conversion that was really wacky, and it was not a good feeling. You didn't feel confident.
Okay, so that's 9 minutes to go. The Bears take the lead. You think the Eagles are going to go down and score, but they don't. The Eagles, quick drive, I think, like 5-6 plays. They punt. Chicago gets the ball. Immediate 3-and-out. And then with 5 minutes to go, your punter shanks that punt.
That's I don't remember that part's blurry to me. Because remember, we're talking 2-3 in the morning for me.
Yeah, but, all right.
But
so the
yeah.
Eagles, well, the point is the Eagles now get the ball at the 40-yard line, so they have a pretty short field for this.
Right. So they have a short field. They come down, and you knew like every, and it seemed like every single time the Bears would make a stop, and then on like third down or fourth down, they would somehow pull it out of their rear end, the Eagles, and that was just like the worst. Obviously, such a horrible feeling. It's just like the whole game was like you feel like it was in the bag, and of course they blew it, and. I guess that's what's like.
Well, okay, so hold on. Well, let's not skip all the way to the end. Spoiler.
Okay, sorry.
People don't know. All right, so coming out of the 2-minute warning, 3rd and 9, as you said, Nick Foles gets the first down to Alshon Jeffrey all the way down to like the 2-yard line. Okay. Mm-hmm. At this point, you're at the 2-yard line. Almost certainly, the Eagles are going to score. But if they don't score, then the Bears can just kneel out the clock. So clearly, the Bears need to save time, and yet. They allow 41 seconds to run off the clock without calling a timeout after that first down by Alshon Jeffrey. So, and you have all 3 timeouts at this point. So how are you feeling about your coach's decision right here?
No, I don't. I have no idea. That makes no sense to me. There was a joke going around at my, I had a few guys over to watch it, and there was jokes going around that because he's part of the
Andy
Reid tree, he learned from the best about how to clock management. Yeah. But so is the coach of the Eagles. So I don't know. They're both Andy Reid people. So who knows? But so maybe that was like a double jinx. But yeah, Andy, you knew we had no idea what was going on, why he wasn't calling timeout. We were yelling at the screen. But maybe he knew that they needed to save that one last timeout because again they used one timeout in that final drive. So I guess there was that logic that did come in handy. I guess maybe to have that one timeout in the final drive. But it was not obviously a good move, and yeah.
All right. So yeah. So they let the clock run down all the way to 1:14. Then they stuff Sproles on first down. Then they finally call a timeout. They stuff Sproles on second down. They call a timeout again. Now third down. Foles has the incomplete pass. So now with a minute to go, it's 4th and 2. How confident were you before that 4th down play?
Again, I wasn't.
Remember, you have a historically good defense this year.
I wasn't because it's the Eagles. You know, these guys are just, they're the Eagles. They pull it out of nowhere.
Not historically. I mean, just since last January, that's been
I know,
the case.
But they've had the magic going for them. And you just had a feeling that they were going to pull it.
So on that 4th down play, you thought for sure they were going to score.
Yeah, I was pretty sure that they were going to score. I was.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, all right. So, and unfortunately for you, you're correct. The Eagles do score a touchdown. Then they line up for the 2-point conversion. And this is sort of an interesting situation because it's 16-15. The Eagles need the 2 so that a field goal would send it to overtime. But when Smallwood fails, the ball sort of fumbled. And for a second, it looks like the Bears have a chance. I mean, they just jumped on it. But, you know, if the Bears return that, all of a sudden you're going to have the greatest
I definitely mentioned at the party that if they intercept or return this, they could score 2 and actually win the game, which is absurd.
And that would be so Bear, the way sort of the Bears have been winning games all year.
Exactly,
that would be
exactly.
For it to happen.
It's true.
Okay, so now you're depressed. It's 16-15. You have less than a minute to go because your coach wasted 40 seconds. You have just 1 timeout. And then Tariq Cohen, your Pro Bowl kick returner, has a monster return.
Yeah, he has a monster return. That was great. Set up Trubisky. And I wasn't so confident in Trubisky. I've been not so into him recently. I'm the verdict's still out. I don't think he's such a good quarterback. I hate to say it. And but then, you know, then they get the big down to Allen Robinson, who finally is, you know, showing that he is the big receiver he's supposed to be. Den, you want to talk about the kick?
Well, I don't want to talk about the kick yet. Okay, so they get the big pass to Robinson. They call their timeout with 35 seconds to go. And again, this is a situation where if you had used your timeout earlier, you'd have a minute 10 to go here. You could have. Then they do the short pass to Robinson, and then Trubisky turns to the sideline and has no idea what to do and allows 19 seconds to waste before he finally spikes the ball.
Yeah, I wonder if these coaches like practice these situations. They must, because it just seems like they're clueless sometimes. I don't know.
I think that's all on Trubisky. I think any veteran quarterback, or frankly, a rookie quarterback who's a little bit more knowledgeable, knows that as soon as you complete that pass, you run up and spike the ball.
Yeah, I that was a little weird. There was
You run a play, but to spend 19 seconds and not run a play is inexcusable.
There was a lot of confusion. I don't know what to say. Yeah. I don't.
He's looking to the sideline. He's holding his helmet.
Yeah.
So they finally spike the ball, which means now it's 3rd and 2, and then they go for it all. That deep pass to Anthony Miller in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
And now you fail, and so you march out Cody Parkey for the 43-yard field goal.
Oh, and then he makes it, but of course they call timeout.
Well, okay. So how did you feel coming into it?
I've been saying all year, you know, to my Bears friends and fans that we're great. I think we're good, but I think it's going to come down to special teams. We don't have a good kicker. It also really hurts that Robbie Gould's been doing really well. He's really popular in Chicago, Robbie Gould, and now he's like on San Francisco, amazing. One of the best ever, and that hurts even more that we had that guy and let him go. And
I got into an argument with a Bears fan friend of mine during the game and then after the game, because he was saying how 100% Robbie Gould would hit this. There's no question, but Parkey's going to miss it. So I actually looked up the numbers. Over the last 3 years, all NFL kickers on kicks of 42, 43, or 44 yards, so right in that range, make it 83% of the time. So it's about a 1 in 6 chance. Do you know what Robbie Gould's percentage on 42, 43, and 44 yarders was during his Bears career?
I have no idea.
76%. What? So quite a bit worse, actually.
What is it? 70? You said
76%.
76.
Bit worse,
okay,
actually.
Look, he's not Mr. Clutch. You're right. I don't know. I don't know. I can't say.
So it's easy once Parkey misses to say, oh, of course, you know, Gould would have hit.
Well, okay. So
Gould is actually below average.
Fine. I don't know.
Yeah. So everyone's joking in my chat groups, my football chat groups at the time. You know, what's he going to do? Is he going to donk? Is he going to boink the goalpost again? And I actually, I'm going to take credit for this one. I predicted before the kick. I said it's going to be a double doink because he's going to kick it once as they call a timeout, and he's going to doink it on the right. And then he's going to line up for the second kick after the timeout, and he'll doink it on the left. But of course, I didn't predict it on one kick. He actually hits the first one, which is worse as the Bears fan.
Can we talk about how NBC, which is normally, you know, the best telecast in all of television, any sport or anything?
Yeah, they couldn't get a freaking, it was pathetic.
They could not get a replay of that. It was astonishing. Incredible. People got fired over that for sure.
Yeah. I couldn't. I was really upset about that. I basically had to go with what the ref did, and then they didn't
pick up the fact that it was tipped.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's nobody who's. I mean, it was a bad job from an otherwise 100%. Really good.
That was atrocious. They you didn't see that when they showed the replay. You didn't see the bottom doink. You didn't see the tip until, honestly, I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter hours later. Yeah,
somebody came over again. I'm reminding you. I went to sleep after, so I wake up and then I'm only a few hours into the day. Somebody says to me, "Oh, you know, they or whatever." Then I find out that it was tipped, which I guess makes things better. I don't know, but.
Keeve, did you feel like Chris and Al were rooting for the Bears? Because it seemed like that to me.
Huh. Well, they root for whichever like city they're going to go to next, but I'm not sure if this affected that. Yeah. It was already decided, I think, because NBC only has one more game.
Yeah. Josh, as a Bears fan, did you feel that way?
I don't believe in those.
Oh, because my Eagles fans were complaining about it endlessly throughout the game.
Oh, they definitely do that. I mean, a lot of times you watch a game and the announcing crew will, not that they're rooting for a team as much as they're watching the game completely through the prism of one of the team's eyes.
All right, so Josh, you are very pessimistic as they're lining up for the kick, but he hits the first one. How did that make you feel coming into the second one? More confident?
Horrible. I knew he's, again, Parkey's been horrible all year. This isn't like new. He's missed 11 kicks all year, you know, extra points and regular field goals. He's been terrible, and it came down to that one weakness on our team, and that's where it hurt us. And
did you see the Instagram video, Parkey's Instagram video of where he's aiming and hitting all these goalposts in like 2016?
This morning, people, it's funny you mentioned it. So people this morning, I know, obviously are sending me memes and whatever. And I responded to them like, you're acting as if I didn't spend, 2 hours this morning just watching memes and videos on the internet, laughing and crying at the same time, because there were some really good ones. Like they did the Pepsi the commercial where they iced the kicker by opening up the Pepsi can. So somebody cut that in with the bear with him missing the field goal. That was hilarious. A lot of Bird Box,
the Bird Box stuff where she's
wearing a blindfold, yeah. And then another good one was Cody Parkey's hat on Steve Bartman's body. That was a good one. There was a lot of them. And I have to say, that was the silver lining of this whole thing, that I was laughing out loud multiple times.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. You said that you went to bed right after this game. If my team hasn't won a Super Bowl since I was in diapers and I lost the way this game, I can't go to bed.
Yeah, I mean, I was really upset, but, you know, I obviously had, like, I woke up my wife.
And, if that was the Jets, I would have definitely cried. And I would have been
I definitely came stampered upstairs, and like my wife was like, I woke her up, of course. You know, she was mad at me that I woke her up at 3 a.m. and like she doesn't care that
if she was good enough, she would have been up watching with you, honestly.
We were loud at my party, so we kept waking her up anyway. But she was sleeping when I came up, and yeah, it was, you know, eventually, what am I going to do? I had to go to bed. It was very late, but. It was not
all right,
easy.
Josh, I don't know if you've started thinking about next year yet, but do you come out of this like optimistic about next year or pessimistic?
No, so I have to say we've been arguing back and forth all year. You know, as you know, we have our little bet going, and you know, I've been pro and they're going to be great. And I actually trying to kind of just change my mind. And I'm like, look, these teams go in waves. You know, this year they had a last place schedule. Next year they get a first place schedule. They play a different division. They play a different, you know. These things in football go in waves. There's always a bad team that becomes good and a good team that comes bad. Trubisky, I think, is not, I don't know. I'm down on him. The defense was historically good. As you said, they got a lot of breaks on these like penalties turning into first down, a lot of these like pick sixes that could go either way, a lot of these bounces on fumbles that could go either way. Now, they historically pulled some wins out of their butts, and I think, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being really pessimistic because of what happened, but I'm not so high on them, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here, I think the positive side, and I said this to you last night, like the positive side is this is one of the youngest teams in the league. You have a new coach. This was a team that was, you know, at least 1 year ahead of schedule in terms of competing this year. On the other hand, as Barnwell has pointed out, teams that improve by 5+ games from 1 year to the next, the third year, they drop by an average of about 4 wins. Just because you're reversion to the mean, you're not. So they're probably about a 500 team that overperformed this year, and so you know you might go 8-8 next year and think, oh, we lost our window, but that might just be the natural progression that to go from
right.
And so you know, I still think that Trubisky is a big question mark because to me he looks like Tim Tebow. He's not a good passer yet, but the defense is so good and they are really young, and you know Trubisky still has time to develop more of, you know, sort of a downfield presence in a pocket passer. So
yeah, I hear what you're saying. I do look at the Rams obviously, like, and say like maybe we could repeat that model. I think Goff's better, but you know, maybe just like the Rams didn't regress and they stayed relevant, so maybe the Bears can too. I think in the modern NFL, you can succeed with a great defense and a mediocre quarterback. You don't need the Mannings and the Breeze of the world to be, you know, amazing. But so I'm optimistic there because like, okay, maybe we don't need like a Pro Bowl level quarterback, but you know, I'm not so sure about him. I don't know. Maybe he is the ninth best quarterback in the NFL, but I just don't know. I can't say anymore what's his story. He's
all right, and for the rest of the playoffs, do you root for the Eagles, against the Eagles, or you don't care?
I don't care. I probably root for the Chargers. I think Philip Rivers, you know, he deserves one. Got it. You know, he's a good man. He's got a lot of kids and deserves to win a Super Bowl because is he the best? You know, is he like the best quarterback ever to not make a Super Bowl?
So in the Super Bowl, well, so Sonny Jurgensen is a top 20 quarterback of all time.
No, Super Bowl era. Jurgensen mostly played after the Super Bowl era.
No, Jurgensen played in the Super Bowl era, and he never even made the playoffs, which is kind of crazy. The hot takes that would have existed today.
Well, but didn't Jurgensen start in like 56?
Yeah, but he played all the way to the 70s.
Okay, but he missed half his career. He missed the yeah. Super Bowl era.
Yeah, Super Bowl guys that were like played like before I was like since I've been born. Come on,
Warren Moon was probably better.
I have Rivers a little above Moon. Now, of course, Moon, if you know, if he gets,
there are very few relevant QBs that did not make a Super Bowl in the modern era. Like the fact that we're already going down to Warren Moon and Rivers.
So I have Rivers all the way up to 22. Fouts never made a Super Bowl. So yeah, it's Dan Fouts and Philip Rivers. It's two Chargers, basically.
Yeah, okay. So it's high. He's high up, put it that way. He's a top five or three, whatever. So I,
of guys who started their career, let's say, in this role, Fouts, Rivers, and Warren are the big three. And so I guess after those three, it's like who? It's like Tony Romo or something. So yeah, those are definitely the big three.
Yeah, Romo.
No, Romo's not. Yeah. Yeah, Rivers.
Well, Romo never plays in an NFC Championship game, right?
Yeah. Well, Rivers has made just one AFC Championship game, I think.
Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of guys.
I'm telling you, Rivers. I said this again last night at my party. I said, I think he's the best to ever not to make a Super Bowl, at least in the modern era. I think it was agreed upon.
All right, I think we've had enough of Canner. I think let's end this now. You did a good job, Josh.
Well, my thanks for having me on, guys. I think my only wish is that this doesn't get cut because Chester sounds like he's underwater. I just hope that
you're the one who should be drowning yourself in sorrow.
You do some magic, or we can get a Kiva. Can we get a Kiva to do the audio and imitate Chester? That would be a good one.
All right, Josh. Terrible luck to your Bears next year and always in the future. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a good one.
Okay, Keeve. So we got enough of that Bears-Eagles game with Cantor, I think.
Some would argue too much. Yeah.
So yeah, let's jump back for 1 second, just briefly talk about the other games. Indy at Houston, as we said, not much to say other than that Houston was Houston in the playoffs. And Bill O'Brien, it's always been, well, if he can only get a quarterback, well, he has one now. So, I've never liked him since Hard Knocks. The biggest shocker to me is the fact that Indy had 21 points in the second quarter and finished with 21 points.
Yeah, I think if they score 21 this coming week, they're probably not going to play next week.
Yeah. The Seattle at Dallas game.
That's my hard now.
You know, you're a Jets fan. You've seen a lot of Brian Schottheimer. So I assume it was just a confirmation for you that whole game.
Oh, no, not confirmation. It would be like confirmation that your name is Alexander. Like, oh, no, I knew that. I didn't need someone to confirm. Like, it was insane that he got hired. It's funny because the Jets and the Seahawks like switched offensive coordinators that are horrible. The Jets are more egregious because they took a guy who was hiking the Oregon Trail for 6 years, who was unemployable, made him their OC. He's going to be out of the, and like, he's probably not even going to be like a high school offensive coordinator next year. And the Seahawks took the Jets. Like, it was the worst trade ever. It was like trading, you know, the world's biggest albatross for the second biggest albatross. It's funny because people are complaining after the Bears, like, oh, well, why didn't Tariq Cohen, you know, why did he only touch the ball on offense 4 times? But, you know, I didn't have a problem with the Bears' offensive game plan. They don't have good receivers, and they were missing, you know, their best or second-best receiver in Burton. Obviously, you have a problem with the Seahawks' game plan. The one thing that also struck me is, like, Chicago and Baltimore losing, defenses are dead. Yes, there was not a lot of scoring this week, which was, you know, partially because a lot of the teams we're playing were borderline playoff teams, like, you know, even some of the winners, like Dallas and Houston and... these are not great teams. These are teams with major holes. You know, Houston offensive line, Seattle, a lot of things like the play caller. You're going to see, I think, a different sport this coming week. And do you remember in the late 90s where this coming week was always like three massive blowouts?
Yeah.
Going back to the 80s, and, especially in the NFC, it was like, it was surprising if like whoever was the good team that year, the Bears, the Giants, the Niners, the Cowboys,
the 49ers, the Cowboys,
didn't win like 49-3. Like you look back and the scores are astonishing. From the divisional playoffs. Yeah. Like it's every game is a 45-point blowout. I do think we're going
to
see
and we'll get to this week, but it looks like there's two or three like that this week also.
I mean, both NFC teams are it's funny because we were like talking in November about the NFC East being like the worst division in NFL history, and now they have two teams that won playoff games, two teams in the arguably better conference. Yeah.
But undeserving, because clearly Chicago would be a closer battle.
But if the Rams and the Saints want to even be considered an average Super Bowl champion, they need to destroy the team this week. Like, look at what the Eagles did last year. Like, they beat a team much better than.
Well, hold on. But the Eagles really struggled against Atlanta the first
time. That's true. But Atlanta was not a bad team. Like, that Atlanta team was better than.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were 7-9 this year, so. Or 6-10 or whatever they finished. So, but I mean, you know, you said you were not surprised at all. I mean, is that why you picked Dallas? Because I was all in on Seattle winning in Dallas. You actually picked
Dallas. Yeah, I just don't know if Seattle was good enough to win a road. I was neutral. I mean, Seattle did look better, but Seattle was good enough to win a road playoff game.
Yeah. And then you did pick Baltimore. I picked the Chargers in that one. We both went 1-3 because we split those, and then we both wrong on the Bears. And actually, we were both wrong. We both picked Houston. So yeah, bad job by us. Both 1-3 last week. Maybe we'll do a little bit better this week. But that Chargers Baltimore game, Lamar Jackson looked really, really bad in the first half. And you know, there was the talk of Flacco coming in at halftime, which would have been high comedy, especially if he had done well. And then he started some.
I mean, Jackson, like, his numbers were good, but I didn't think he played well at all in the fourth quarter. Like, the biggest play, the throw of the running back was lofted. It was just him. Yeah. I mean, yes, he made that play with his legs, but, like, it was not a good throw. It just, he happened to loft it over the guy's head, like, almost accidentally.
Yeah, but if you're a Ravens fan, you're still coming into
I don't think he means he's a bad player. I just think, like, was he better than Joe Flacco?
I think I'd rather be a Ravens fan than
probably not.
Yeah. I'd rather be a Ravens fan than a Bears fan right now, just because, you know, again, I'm really not sure what you have in Trubisky.
Right. We know Trubisky isn't great. I'm not super high on either of them this second, but obviously Jackson's ceiling is through the moon. I mean, he couldn't even run yesterday. Like, he was so useless.
Yeah. All right. So, Leah, let's jump to this week's games. Guessing the spread, I came back to beat you 3-1 after you beat me last week. India KC, this line to me is way too small. Obviously, you agree even more because you guessed it at 9.5. I guess that it's 7. How is Kansas City not getting a touchdown? I mean, people are getting really too excited. The Colts. Like, the Chiefs to me
are
still the best
nervous.
Team.
Like, well, the people are saying, like, team. Well, how are the Chiefs going to blow somebody out if their defense is bad? Well, I have news. Like, they could, news for you. Like, they could still win 42-24 and their defense could have a mediocre game. Like,
yeah. Exactly. You know, the Colts' offense is still. Luck is vastly improved, obviously, and healthy, which he hadn't been in a couple of years. But they're still not an elite offense, let alone a Chiefs level offense. So I don't understand this line. This line at 5.5, way too low for me. I think Kansas City is going to win this game relatively easily. Obviously, the last time these teams faced each other in the playoffs, the Chiefs had a very large lead, and things turned out a different way. So you know, it would be as a Chiefs fan. And again, the Chiefs hadn't even won a playoff game in like 25 years until the last couple of years, and they've had a disastrous playoff history, basically going back to Hank Stram. So if they were to lose this game as a Chiefs fan, I mean, I think I have to move them up on my list of Chris franchises.
Yes, this would be I mean, just because there's a very rare, like, you have to say right now, just because the Rams and the Saints are pretty even in the NFC, you'd have to, and the Chiefs are better than the Patriots, you'd have to say the Chiefs today. In my mind, and I'm guessing in your mind, I don't know if I haven't checked the Super Bowl odds at all, actually, in Vegas, have to be the slight Super Bowl favorites right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And again, like with Mahomes, people are going to say, well, you know, he's so young and he has a career in front of him. Well, look at Dan Marino. Dan Marino in his first full season, 1984, sets all these kinds of records, has a historic season like Mahomes had this year.
Never comes
and back. They go to the Super Bowl and lose. And never, Marino never got close to that ever again.
No, you could never have this chance. You could have a Teddy Bridgewater happen to you. Like, you don't get chances at the NFL.
Oh, God forbid, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying you don't get chances.
So So I think Kansas City wins this easily. I'm definitely going to give these points.
By the way, the Saints are the favorites. Chiefs are 2, but the Chiefs are actually closer to the Pats and the Rams at 3-4.
Well, a lot of that is because New England is such a public team.
But why are the Saints 220 as opposed to the 400 for the Chiefs? I guess because they play such a bad team this week, because the Chiefs don't play a great team either.
I think it's because of the Pats.
And
also, people are really low on the Rams, but we'll get to that one in a second. But what's your pick for India, KC?
KC's going to win. I think they're going to cover.
Yeah, me too. All right, then we have the late game on Saturday night, Dallas at the Rams. This is another line where we were both guessing too high. I guess this one at 7.5. It's a 7.
By the way, to be like Mike and the Mad Dog for a second, like, the league has to be ecstatic about the Colts Chiefs is a nothing playoff game. Like, the Chiefs are exciting and it might be a good game. But
yeah.
But the Chiefs, you know, they're locked in to the home team is locked in before last week. It happens to be Colts Chiefs. It could have been Chargers Chiefs. But every other, you know, the Cowboys are in the Saturday night games. So that's an automatic home run. And the Patriots play the early game Sunday, and then Eagles Saints. Like, the Eagles just have a lot of interest right now, and the Saints are, you know, with Drew Brees are interesting. Yeah. The Eagles Bears game, I don't know if you saw it, did like ludicrous ratings yesterday. Just like historically, like best in 20 years for a first round of the playoff game.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that high.
Oh, like because it was close at the end. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, and also they're 2 of the 10 biggest cities. They're huge markets, and so
yeah.
All right, so Cowboys at the Rams. You know, I'm not sure about the spread because I think the Rams are going to win comfortably, but this is the kind of game I think where the Cowboys.
It's not 7.5. If it was 7.5, it would scare me. At 7, I'm pretty comfortable taking the Rams. Now, there will be a thing.
I'm definitely taking the Rams also, but I think it's going to be like 31 to like 17.
I mean, Dak, I was like less impressed with Dak. Sometimes they win, and I'm like less impressed with Dak than like him sort of coming from behind in a loss and he does something really cool.
Yeah.
I'd say once a game or twice a game, Dak something is like, oh, yeah, yeah, of course. That's why he was taking the fourth round. Like,
well, here's my prediction. It'll be 31-17. The Cowboys will score a late touchdown. To
cover. Oh, yeah, then, there could definitely be a backdoor
that's
cover
the scenario
here.
Where you're supposed to go for two, but of course, the clapper, as they call him, there's no chance that Jason Garrett, even having gone to Princeton, would know about that, right? Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no.
So they'll lose to 31-24.
Obviously, if they lost this game, which would be just an embarrassing loss, there would be a lot of like, well, McAdoo stuff doesn't work in the playoffs, which would be very stupid, but will be very prevalent next week. But I don't
McVay,
think
McVay, you mean. Lose.
Sorry, McVay. McAdoo yeah. stuff doesn't get to the playoffs, but I'm sure it would be great.
Well, I was thinking of Bob McAdoo.
Bob McAdoo stuff. Well, he wasn't a great playoff guy, was he?
Yeah, you know, he was not. Well, see, he was on the Lakers.
Yeah, but he wasn't. Yeah, his successes are mostly the regular season for a great player.
Yeah. All right, now we get Chargers at New England, the early game on Sunday, which is not ideal because this game, at least the spread, is supposed to be the closest game. This spread also confuses me. The Chargers, to me, are clearly the better team. There's no question they're the better team. They're the road team because of the idiotic way that the NFL does things. And so I had New England favored by 2.5, you know, a little bit less than they should be at home. But this game is 4.5 is the spread. So I don't understand. People think is this just because they're a public team? Because the Patriots aren't good.
Yeah, I think it's going to take this game for people to realize the Patriots aren't good, which Patriots fans have been telling you all year.
Yeah, well, only Simmons. The other ones are home. The problem is, again, I do think there's an exhaustion that builds up over the course of 3.5 months with the Chargers that, you know, eventually just not having the support of a home crowd. I think.
I mean, these teams are similarly tough good, for them. Though. Like, yes, it's fine. The Patriots have I get why the Pats are 4.5.
No, the Chargers have a better defense, and the Chargers have a better offense.
Okay. I mean, the Patriots are at home. Rivers hasn't been lighting the world on fire for like 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But he's
we got two old quarterbacks possibly in the cold. I don't know anything what the weather's going to be on Sunday.
Yeah. I'm definitely taking the Chargers here.
Do you know the Chiefs are 1-11 against the spread in the playoffs in their last 12?
Ooh, not ideal.
That's funny. I mean, what they did with like Christian Okoye in 1994 isn't super relevant, but still funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Chargers because the Pats, like, I can't see the Patriots blowing the Chargers out under any scenario. So your odds are just so much better than 50%.
But who are you picking to win? You picked the Ravens last week. You're picking against the Chargers.
I'm going to pick the Chargers to win. I'm going to pick I think Chargers Chiefs. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And then Philly at New Orleans. Again, when these teams played, you know, 6 weeks ago or whatever it was, that was sort of the nadir of the Eagles season.
Mm-hmm.
Their season was over. You know, they're going to put Wentz on the shelf. And somehow, miraculously, they haven't lost a game since then. The spread is only 8.5, whereas last time it was like 11 or whatever, and the Saints obviously tripled that just about. I thought the Eagles were garbage. Nothing that I saw yesterday convinces me otherwise, right? I mean, Nick Foles put together one drive when he needed it, but he didn't do very much most of the game. And he could have been worse. I thought the Bears like dropped an interception. So I'm going to pick New Orleans to win and to cover also.
All right, New Orleans to win and to cover. You're looking at 9 for the Saints Eagles.
I'm looking at 8.5 right now. Has it moved to 9?
Yeah, I think it's moving towards 9.
If it moves any more, I'll probably take Philly for a backdoor cover.
I wouldn't bet on this. I don't like betting. I think the Saints should just destroy the Eagles. The Eagles aren't good. They didn't show their defense played okay against the terrible offense. I think they're in for a little bit of a rude awakening against the Saints. But 9 is so many points. 8.5 is so many points. So it would be a stay away if we were like betting real money in the game, but I'll pick the Saints to cover.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, it's not lining up to be, other than that Chargers-Patriots game, a super exciting divisional round. But as you said, but that means that we could have a dynamite. And I mean, the AFC Championship, no matter what, as long as the Colts aren't involved, I think would be a really exciting game. And in the NFC, of course, Rams, Saints. The first time we saw it was really good. And so, you know, the four best teams all year have been the Chiefs, the Rams, the Chargers, and the Saints in some order. And so those are the four teams that deserve to be there.
Yeah, I agree. That would be a very fitting Final Four. Yeah.
And for really sure, one of them won't be. For sure, one of them won't be.
I'd say Chargers, Chiefs, you know, there won't be a lot of excitement. How many Chargers fans do you know? How many Chiefs fans do you know? But that would be a very fit. Like, that would be a perfectly reasonable rematch. And so, like, any combination of, you know, Chiefs versus the Chargers or the Patriots, and then it can only be the Rams Saints to have a respect. Like, yes, there will be a lot of interest if you have the Eagles miracle story continuing or this freaking stupid Cowboys.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the five best teams this year.
Yeah, and the Super Bowl storylines, there's a lot of good Super Bowl storylines out there. Well, I think the Bears are better than the Patriots, but there's a lot of good Super Bowl storylines out there. Obviously, if LA versus LA would be alive, you would have Philip Rivers.
I don't even think that's a good storyline. I think
well, nobody cares about them, but at least it's
almost like an embarrassing storyline.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right, actually.
It's a bunch of LA people saying, like, I'm not even watching Super Bowl, and like, we don't even care about football, and we have the two teams. Like, That would be annoying.
I think that the Rivers thing would be a good story, though. The Saints coming into Atlanta, where they're like the most hated team, would be akin to, you know, the Vikings having to host the Eagles last year.
Yeah, the AFC, that is a big deal. The AFC team will have a huge rooting advantage, like a huge home field advantage there.
Well, no, it's because it's about whose fans travel better. I mean, everybody in Minnesota hated the Eagles.
No, but the neutrals will be Atlanta, will be rich Atlanta people who are going to be rooting against
the
Saints.
There were no rich Minnesotan neutral. Like, let me put it this way. The Eagles had the overwhelming support.
Well, there are no rich Minnesotans. It's like the guy who owns the Mall of America, probably.
The Eagles had the overwhelming...
I think they live in Canada.
The Eagles had the overwhelming support of the crowd in last Super Bowl because the Eagles hadn't been to a Super Bowl in forever. And the
Colts-Chiefs, is all these lines are kind of high. Chiefs-Patriots is actually... Chargers-Patriots is actually the lowest. 57 over-under for Colts-Chiefs. That's wild.
Yeah. What's the over-under on the Philly-New Orleans game?
51.
Although, I mean, look, New Orleans has been a more defense-first team the last month of the year for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, if four, like 42 to 14 doesn't go over, you know, 38 to 17 doesn't go, like, those are high scoring games. That's crazy for Colts Chiefs.
Yeah, it's such a weird, like, the Eagles have such a weird defense because their secondary is so bad, but their pass rush is so good. So they got to get to the quarterback, and if they don't, then they're in a lot of trouble.
I mean, not much different than last year. I mean, their secondary is worse, but it's pretty similar.
Yeah, their secondary is definitely worse.
I mean, they allowed 33 points in the Super Bowl. Like, they allowed the Patriots to throw for 7,000 yards against them.
Yeah. By the way, underdogs have you know, not only did they go 4-0 this week, but they've now covered 10 consecutive games.
Yeah.
This year and last year, playoffs combined, underdogs are 14-1 against the spread.
That's crazy. All right, keep that in mind.
So you and I, you and I banging all these favorites out. Maybe not the right way to go.
No, we're probably stupid. Luckily, we're not spending any money on this.
Yeah. All right, Keeve, you know, enjoy your football this week, and we'll talk next week.
Bye. I don't want to make things better. Thanks for nothing.
Think we can be friends. I'm just being honest, 'cause I don't want to make